Okay.
So, yes, I think we did the bulk of the topic, but we'll summarize and then finish up. We have a host pick on Bitzillo about whether or not you can sell Chametz Koton LePesach in the event that you're not sure that it will be consumed entirely before Pesach. Beis Shammai forbids it. Most Rishonim think that Beis Shammai's Isser is an independent Gzeir Derabanan to deal with a local Chashash of one kind or another. And we discussed which, the different suggestions about what the Chashash was. But we are focusing on Rashi's alternative view, which was that the Isser of Beis Shammai is rooted in, and is based on the Chovas Biur. That in the event that the Chametz is still around on Pesach, Rashi holds that Beis Shammai held Yomarvatel the Mitzvahs Biur, and therefore it is forbidden to sell it prior to Pesach, where that's possible, that where it will end up happening. It's forbidden as a bitul ha-chiyu fiyur. We noted that Beis Shammai entails a few propositions. Number one, regarding what tashbisu requires you to do with the chametz hamechuyav b'tashbisu. Beis Shammai held that tashbisu requires you to be environment olam, to make it non-existent. And Rabbi Yochanan attacked this proposition, either in explaining Beis Hillel, or in rejecting Rashi's interpretation of Beis Shammai, because they so believe this. They think that Tashbis does not require you to be Mashbis Min HaOlam, but rather Mashbis Min Yerushuska. You cannot own Chametz or possess Chametz. It would not be a problem for Chametz to be extinct if you don't own it. And therefore selling it would not violate Tashbis. And we noted that there are two formulations here of this. Either to understand mitzvah tashbisu is what the Nechassin calls a sheva paisa mitzvah. It's something which requires, what it commands is that you not have chametz. The state of not owning chametz, in which case mechira is consistent with kiyum mitzvah, it leads to a kiyum mitzvah, it's not itself a kiyum mitzvah, but it leads to being mekayem mitzvah. There's no problem with being with selling because of this. The other possibility though is to say that tashbisu is a kumbi aser requirement, perhaps even going so far as to say what the Mechassinuch says on this al-Atzad, on this side, that you'd actually have to go buy chametz if you don't have it, but even if you don't assume that, but if you do have chametz, then it's a positive command to get the process, the maisa, is a positive command to get rid of that chametz, in which case you might say mechira is a kiyum tashbisu in that view. However, we pointed out that packages in this first proposition here that Beis Shammai held regarding tashbisu that it requires you to be mevayeret min ha'olam, and therefore that forbids any mechira. That there's a second point there that's not obvious, and that is the fact that it forbids mechira, because even if mechira neither is a kiyum or leads to a kiyum, but it is possible that it would still be permissible, not usher as a bitul hamitzvah, on the basis of the model that we discussed, namely, let's say, destroying a house or selling a house that is mechuyav b'mezuzah. So you're not certainly not mekayem the mitzvah mezuzah, but there's no problem with doing that either. You're dissolving the situation under which the mitzvah is relevant. So you're not violating the mitzvah, just the mitzvah is no longer relevant. So on this view, even if you hold, let's say, like Rabbi Yehuda, that, let's say, Yambi or Chametz El Sreifa, and you think that that's operative now, you wouldn't say that it's forbidden to sell the Chametz necessarily. So that's a point we mentioned. What I was suggesting, I didn't really say it so clearly yesterday, what I was suggesting was that perhaps, whether or not that's the case, that it would be mutter to dissolve the circumstances under which the mitzvah's call, obviously Beis Shammai doesn't agree with that, with the Rashi, whether that is the case might depend on the nature of the mitzvah. It could be that being the case of mezuzah is due to the fact that it's what the Rambam calls a mitzvah hadomah l'rishus, which is, the way I would put it, it's not a mitzvah to do something, but just with a t'nai. It's rather a mitzvah to do something so long as the circumstances are there. So mitzvah's mezuzah is, it's not a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah, and just that you can only mekayim it when you have the house. It's a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah on whatever house you have. Those Goman Rishus cases are like that, and therefore the mitzvah makes no demand whatsoever that you be in a situation where you are capable of then being mekayim the mitzvah. In other words, it doesn't demand that you be in a situation of having the mitzvah apply, and therefore there's no chiyuv lirdov acharav, as the Rambam says, as a shtadel lirdov acharav. And maybe that's why there's no problem with, let's say, selling a house or destroying a house on the plea of mezuzah. But maybe that wouldn't be true if, maybe that wouldn't be true if we're dealing with a mitzvah, in the Rambam's terms, she'chayv adam akopanim, to search after, to seek to fulfill a mitzvah, which isn't so limited. It's not, you know, a mitzvah to do something with whatever it is that you have, implying no obligation whatsoever with regard to having it. Rather, it's a mitzvah to do. And then you have, you know, a condition that it's adopted with something that you own, and then that would maybe imply an obligation to go, you know, search out it, as the Rambam says that, you know, in the mitzvos, what is it called? He calls it chovos, shame chovos, alah adam. And perhaps in such situations, you would say that if you're in a position now where you have the thing, you can't sell, you can't get rid of it, because adrabi, you have a mitzvah to search after this. Oh, I think I gave you guys in the. I don't remember who discusses this, but it perhaps was the Mekor Chaim. I don't know if it's part of it, but he discusses the Gemara Chulin about searching after, you know, Shiluach HaKain as an example, Shiluach HaKain, where you have the Gemara speaks about having to go, you know, perhaps even search for the Khan somewhere in the mountains if you don't see it. That was a Havin the Gemara has. The Gemara cites a drasha to say you don't have to go that far. But the basic notion that a person has, it's incumbent upon himself to find the situation in which he is mechuyav, the davar, to be mekayim such a mitzvah, that exists. And what I'm arguing is perhaps in those such mitzvahs, as opposed to something like mezuzah, you would find yourself in such a situation, not be permitted to dissolve that situation. It's true, the question becomes tashbisu, how do we view it? Is it a mitzvah, oh, kopanim, a person is chayav to be mekayim, this is tashbisu? Whether that means you actually have to go out and get chametz, that's what the Mechas Kliyam suggests. I gave you guys Maharik, who specifically imagined that to be an absurdity, but Mechas Kliyam thinks that that's possible, that you would have to go out and buy chametz in order to be mekayem such mitzvah. Or even if we say you don't have to go that far, let's say the mitzvah doesn't demand, you know, after the kaf, that you don't have chametz, you have to go get chametz. But that's just, the Torah doesn't impose it on you after the kaf, that you have to go out and get. But if you have an echinami, there is a mitzvah to do with that chametz, a certain act, then you might say that it would be forbidden to dissolve. Obviously, Beis Shammai held the point of Rashi that it's forbidden to dissolve circumstances. And I'm just saying that is not obvious. You could disagree with that. And perhaps that's what it depends on. It could be other things as well, meaning it could be to what extent it's really a maisa, a mitzvah, which is, you know, demands a certain process. But either way, that's just on the question of, even if you assume it is not a kinyum mitzvah, or it doesn't make a kinyum mitzvah, whether or not they'd be permitted to be mocher just because it's akin to destroying a house which has a chiyuv mezuzah. So in the end, we do find, you know, these two possibilities in terms of why you would be permitted to be mocher. And this is a machlokes, this first proposition, whether or not mechir is possible given mitzvah tashvisu. So we find that is certainly a machlokes, or certainly two tzadim in Rishonim. With Rishonim, for instance, asked regarding, we know you can't sell chametz once it's aser bana, because selling is an act of benefit. But is it also something which is impossible given tashvisu? So that's a subject that we pointed to in the Rash. The Reed was specific by that. And the Nachmina that he brought up was Rabbi Shimon, Kodma Pesach, let's say, after chatzos, when there's no isurei chametz, so it's completely mutter, it would in theory be on its own mutter to sell it, but given that there's a mitzvah tashbisu, is that preclude selling it? The Reed wasn't sure about it. Again, there's two ways to take the question. Either, you know, you could be two reasons why it would be okay, either because it itself is a kiyum hamitzvah, or because, and I think if I'm recall correctly, the Reed raises this question and he assumes that this is Lefir of Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda was required straight only Shalobashaf Yehuda. A fear being a tantal which Afira would be during the hours under which is a chol hashashvisu minatora. According to Rashi, wouldn't be. But if you assume, let's say that it's during the hours which you're mechuyav the straight from minatora, so the question, presumably, you would not be saying this is a kiyum mitzvah hashashvisu. You would be saying that this is mutter because it just simply undermines the situation in which there's a chiyav hashashvisu, in which you have, you're required to do this with the chametz, and that's not a problem because just like I can destroy a house, or, you know, sell the house, I can also sell the chametz, and then I won't have a mitzvah schiyuv that's with respect to that chametz. the formulation of Rosh himself, if I recall correctly, does sound like this is a Kima Hashbasa. I mean, that has to be, I need to look at that again in terms of how that was Rabbi Yehuda. But either way, that's a Machlokes that they discuss, not Machlokes, it's something that the Rosh discusses in the context of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. I pointed to you to Mokor Chaim in Simon Tafumaral because you get a chance to see it, who basically discusses the same fundamental question in the context of Rabbi Yosef Lili on Pesach. It's the same question. Rabbi Yosef Lili on Pesach, it's just further, because Rabbi Shimon at least agrees that there's an Isar Na B'Pesach Atzmo, but Rabbi Yosef Lili thinks there is no Isar Na B'Pesach Atzmo even. And therefore, one could wonder that question, what is Rabbi Yosef Lili? Apparently, Shagas Aryeh, I could not find it when I was looking through the Shagas Aryeh himself, but the Shagas Aryeh apparently assumed as a requisite that with the Rabbi Yosef Lili, you'd be able to sell Chametz HaPesach. And the Mekor Chaim thinks that's incorrect, because you're Mechuyav B'Tishbi. So essentially, the two Tzadim, I don't see a reason to distinguish between this question regarding in the context of Rabbi Shimon Erev Pesach and the question with Rabbi Yosef Lili B'Tocha Pesach. Unless you assume Tashmisu is not enforced for some reason on Pesach itself, which is a separate issue. But the issue that the Mekor Chaim seizes upon is that it can't be mutter to do so, given that there's a mitzvah Tashmisu. And again, that seems to be this Beisham's proposition that Mechira is precluded because Tashbisu demands that it be Mevuar Min HaOlam. Okay. But I pointed out that Beit Shammai is not arguing just on Mechira Man Cholasa Biur Min HaTorah. Beit Shammai is arguing that you can't sell in the event that you're not sure it's going to be tuned, you can't sell it prior to Pesach. And that would seem to involve a second proposition, and this is the one that I was saying I think is a huge chiddush. Not about what Tashbisu demands what you do with the chametz, that is mechuyav b'tashbisu, but that this chametz, the chametz you own prior to Pesach, 30 days prior to Pesach even, is chametz hamechuyav b'tashbisu. It's one thing to say Tashbisu demands of you that you get rid of it, such as, v'yizacherot, anywhere in the world. It's another thing to say that applies to chametz which you own 30 days but are looking to sell now. And here I was raising the point that seems to be a major chiddush that Beit Shammai is suggesting that doesn't have, I believe, really all that much precedent. And now just to focus on this question, the issue of precedent, it will be determined. Rashi himself mentions, he sends you to the Gemara in Daf Vav, where you have the halacha of Kodem Shoshim Yom, Dorshin Hilchos HaPesach, happens in Machlokes Rishonim what that means. Does it mean that we start reviewing Halachos HaPesach, or does it have a more narrow meaning? It just means that when you have two shilohs that are in front of you, the Pesach shiloh takes precedence. Some Rishonim, I think, from Ban says that's what that means. So it's a much more limited point. It's not that now you change your topics and now everybody's going to be discussing Pesach. It's more just if you have two people that have shiloh, so the person that has the Pesach shiloh gets the first gets your attention first. But the Gemara says on Daf Vav, when you have no das lasor, if you have no das lasor b'sof haPesach, so then when you leave, whether or not you have a chiyuv b'dika depends on whether or not you're leaving prior to 30 days or b'sof 30 days. Prior to 30 days, in zakuk l'vayir, so 30 days is zakuk l'vayir. Now, the way that some Rishonim understand this Gemara, it really doesn't have much to do with anything that we're discussing. For instance, the Meiri, and I think many other Rishonim too, assume that what's going on here is really just trying to figure out when can we expect a person to remember to do bittul later on. To the extent that we can expect a person to remember to do bittul, there doesn't need to be a bidikin. So if you take a look at the Meiri, that's how he understands the sugya. And then Rashi doesn't seem to be taking it this way, because first of all, for Rashi, we're dealing with somebody who hasn't been vata. This is a raya that Rashi holds. This sugya was one of the rayas that I gave you, that Rashi holds that even prior to bedika or bittul, you would not be over our chametz she'ini yiduah, because he says that afilu merishashana nami v'chi hader be mei pesach avar la. Why? V'hei shas alav v'shus tehud alav l'shari yisra hanahu v'enu shalo v'shara avu over la. Problem, reason why, if you're dead alav the soka pesach, it doesn't matter whether it's 30 days or prior to 30 days, is because come back on Pesach, you're going to find it and then be over Alel. So obviously, if you're finding it and being over Alel, that means that there's no bittul here. No, I'm sorry. Let me take this step back. The Gemara does not seem to be concerned with the possibility that you would have an Issa Bali or Bali Matze. And the question is, why not? Why shouldn't we? So, L'chora Rashi's answer to this is not that, well, we're assuming that you dealt with Bittel, and that's L'shitaso, that he held that the Chamit She'en Yedu'elcha, and this is apparently according to Rashi what we're dealing with here, Chamit She'en Yedu'elo, you don't violate Minatara either way. And therefore, the Kovas Bior here is the issue, not the buyer possibility of having a Vera buyer by Matze. Is that clear? This is why, you know, it makes sense for him to send you to the Sugya and Davav, because the Sugya and Davav is speaking about Shoshim Yom and the Chalos Chovas Abiyur. But what is being said here, I think, is still somewhat different. This is what we were sharpening today. L'chaora, what's being said here on Davav is that Chametz, on whatever level we're dealing with, L'chaora, we're talking about Farashi B'dika D'Rabbanan, not because this is like Bittul, but just because, again, the chiyuv to go after chametz she'en yedu'elcha is probably only derabanan, because he thinks you don't violate with that chametz. So what we're dealing with here is the chiyuv biur midirabanan, right? And what Rashi is saying is the chiyuv biur midirabanan, the chiyuv bedika midirabanan, that is something which applies. You know, Rashi has an understanding of the sugi to be saying that when it comes to shloshim yom kodmei chag, you're already mechuyav bebedika midirabanan.
According to Rashi, yeah, the reason why we do bedika is to not overvalue it. So, like, aren't we, like, he's saying now that, yeah.
Where did Rashi, it say that?
I thought it's the first Rashi in the Masechta.
It's not clear, though, that there is a derabanan.
I think it's like,
I
believe
it. Yeah. Right, so I think that is a question people raise. It is also clear for Rashi that, I mean, for Rashi, for Yotze Kodem Shoshim Yom, so then there's no Chiyuv Bedika, even though we don't assume that you're doing Bittul here. We know that that's the case, because he says the reason why you have to do it in case of Daita Lachzer is because you might find it and be over a leg, because you can't be Matla at that point. So the horror we're dealing with here is Rashi saying, if you don't know of Chametz, again, he doesn't add all these words in, but this is the horror what emerges, if you don't know of Chametz in your house, but you haven't looked for it, so you don't have to do anything if you're leaving prior to 30 days. You can just leave it as is. I mean, I thought you'd be fine. And your bonnet isn't required either. So, you know, I think Rashi's explanation of what the Dika is doing there needs to be understood. I don't, you know, it could be, you can explain it a couple of different ways. Either Bar-Yahud might say, this is Nidur Banan. Tosos think that Rashi should be saying that anyway, since the assumption is that you'd have Bittul. So there's some question about that, but the answer could be in Chenami. Rashi is saying Nidur Banan is a requirement, Shalayu Barlo Bar-Yahud Bar-Yahud might say. Alternatively, you could say other things. I don't want to get into it now. Maybe there's different levels of chametz I could do a low, she ain't do a low. But either way, this is what Rashi says here. I mean, Rashi assumes that if I leave before 30 days, I have no requirement to do bedika, regardless of having done bittul. That seems to be what he's saying here, and therefore, you know, that's the basis for what we're saying now. Let's see, 115. So I apologize if this happens to be very dizzy. So I wasn't really able to, I guess, we'll do tomorrow, just quick.